Welcome to the Coalition. It just this is the Knights of the Turntable. Give me a second, because I'm trying to figure out what episode this is.
It's Michael Jordan. It's the Michael Jordan episode.
Are you 100% sure that it's the Michael Jordan episode?
Yes.
Right. It's the 23rd. My bad. Okay. This is the 23rd episode. We tried to stick to being consistent, but South by Southwest happened, and I ended up missing on last Friday. That's all on me, but we're here now, and we got the next episode up for y'all. With me, I have Joe Hope.
Yo, I'm not going to say anything. No, last week I said sarcastically that Kendrick's album was trash, but sarcastically, mind you.
What?
And I got drugged through the fucking comments for days.
And it got real racial up in that bad boy.
Real racial. And the funny thing is, nobody, the people who were saying, oh, well, he's stupid, you know, he doesn't understand it, da, 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 they didn't watch the video because I commended the album pretty much the entire time of the review.
Yeah. Yeah, there was really not much bad said about the album at all.
Yeah.
Also, I have Richard Bailey.
What's up, viewers and listeners? I will not say nothing controversial tonight because, yeah, I think Joe did enough of that last time.
True.
Yeah, right. You get to the last topic. That's it's going down. All right, we can see Will.
What's going on? What's going on?
I realize you're not on camera, sir.
I am not on camera because I opted to get 2 gigs extra memory instead of a webcam. This was It has been that way since I bought this computer in 2000.
Hey, you're up, bro.
That's
real
struggle.
Okay.
All right, I've got
your
boy Blue. What's going on,
guys? Do we really have to keep calling you that?
It's your boy. Good boy. AJ. How y'all doing? See,
that's so much more calm.
I know, but am I a calm
person?
No.
Exactly.
Well, all right,
so, let's go ahead.
He's
got to start doing mixtape drops in the middle of the fucking podcast.
It's your boy.
It's your boy. Dramatic.
Yo, All right, let's go ahead and jump into what everybody has been listening to, starting with Rich.
Yes, there you go. Right on schedule. I've been listening to, of course, what everybody else has been listening to. To Pimp a Butterfly on repeat, over and over again. I listened to some Earl. You know, Earl and Tyler together, because I haven't checked out the new Earl album yet, but I am going to check it out. But yeah, plenty of that. Then we had that album dropping. I listened to Snoop's song, Peaches and Cream. That song is fire.
Yes! So, yes!
I've only heard it on the
everything, everything you said about him in that, you know, institutionalized song, yeah, this song is awesome. I can't wait for the album. And I did listen to Big Sean as well. The album that you guys said, "Oh, you need to listen to this." I did check that out. It was okay. You know, it was a little rough in the beginning for me, starting out. Like, oh man, I don't think I can make it through this album. But no, it got better, so it's good. It's all right. But it ain't touching Kendrick. Let me make that very clear. It ain't touching Kendrick.
That's an unfair comparison. We don't need to go there.
True.
That's that. All right. How about you, B. Will?
Well, coming on the heels of the Knights of the Turntable release, you know, I felt so compelled to go check out that Kendrick. And I did. I had checked it out before. I gave it the first run through. I listened to y'all. And then when I listened to it again, I found myself agreeing with so much of what was said. It's like I wouldn't have too much more to add. You know, I mean, we could have a conversation at some point about apples and oranges as far as albums go. Every rap album ain't meant to do the same thing anymore. And I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I definitely enjoyed it. That's pretty much all I listened to for about maybe about 5 days. Just put it back to back on repeat and really got into it. But we can get into that later if somebody wants to.
Word up. Joe.
Yeah, I listened to. I had like a 6-hour road trip. I went to Orlando for the weekend, so I listened to a bunch of music. I listened to Pimp a Butterfly a few times. I put on some Prince at one point. Like, I've been listening to Ray Shrimmer today. Like, I've just been all over the place musically.
I gotta dock some points because you're empowering AJ's trap. Like,
music. No. I'm saying you listen to Prince, and I just wanted to. That's why when he said to Pimp a Butterfly, I went and after listening to that album, I went and listened to Prince. A couple of the samples, like if you listen to like kind of the it made me listen to Prince. I don't even like Prince, but I went and listened to a little bit of that. So you know what, J-Hova, like right here, though. You know what I'm saying?
You guys are besties.
Yes! The two best friends that
anybody could have.
Well, since you're best friends with Joel, just expect to get slandered in the comments now.
I'll ride from the boys.
Alright.
Your boy Blue.
What you been listening to?
So before Kendrick came out, I actually picked up, the Games album, was out.
Year of the
Wolf? Yeah, I overlooked that. And then I also picked up Lupe, but with Kendrick coming out, like, that's all. So I plan on listening to those two albums, but Kendrick's came out and that's all I've been listening to.
Year of the Wolf.
I haven't listened to Year of the Wolf, but I did get Jesus Piece before that, and it was enjoyable. And you just did the drinking game, and we haven't even told them what the drinking game is.
Air quotes.
Okay, so anytime we do air quotes, we said this in the To Pimp a Butterfly thing. Anytime we do air quotes, you got to drink. And no matter what it is, you just don't have to drink. Jesus Piece was fire. So I expect Year of the Wolf to be at least decent.
He's only had one bad album, really.
Jesus True. Piece. No. What?
But that's for a different show.
No, it's not even worth talking about. But me and myself, of course, To Pimp a Butterfly has been on repeat over and over and over and over and over. I, like, no exaggeration, I've listened to it at least 30 times or so. Especially with having the job commute and everything. Like, as soon as I get in the car, it's playing. And it, if I play the album from King Kunta to the end, it matches up. Like, I'm about to get out of my car when Tupac starts talking every time. So, listen to that. I listened to Earl's album. As I said to other people before the show, I don't know what I was listening to, so I'm going to have to go back to that and try it again. I listened to the first few tracks on Action Bronson's album, which was good. It was good.
Yo, I'm like the biggest person when it comes to Action Bronson saying that he sounds like Ghostface and I don't want to listen to him, but I listened to like the first like 3 or 4 songs before we hopped on, and I mean we had a segment that we were gonna do today that we're saving for next week, I guess. That got trimmed, but I would drop some money on that.
You making me want to bring that segment back to this episode, man.
Are you saying it wasn't good?
You really just gonna go all willy nilly with that, huh?
It was funny to me. It made me giggle.
But other than those projects, I don't think I listened to. I found a band that I discovered at South by Southwest, and I listened to them, which was pretty cool. But let's go ahead and move into the first topic. So the sales numbers are out. To Pimp a Butterfly moved physically 318,000. With streams counted in, it's, 350 to 370, right, Joe?
I thought the streams were different because somebody said that the streams did, like, some astronomical number for the first day.
The Spotify stream, they counted differently.
I thought they were being included now.
But not, it's not. That's how many times it was streamed, not how many different people
downloaded.
Cool. So he broke the record he broke it the first time at 9.6 million streams, and then he broke it the next day for 9.8 million streams. Yeah. So that is the record for that. But far as...
It did 318 physical, and then like...
The streams being counted in pushed it to like 350 to 370.
Yeah, something like that. Which is, because I think I projected that, or predicted that.
You did. Was a 350. I don't know what you said. So now that we know that, how do we feel about that sales price point? AJ, you started off.
I feel for what the album, you know, coming off of the hype of his, you know, Good Kid, M.A.D. City. Yeah. I think that's a solid number in comparison to everything else that's been released thus far. It kicks ass. Mm-hmm. But it's nice and solid if we go like, oh, we're looking back at 2015, Kendrick Lamar. That's solid. That's it. You can't fuck with it.
Gotcha. And that's number one on Billboard's this week, too. Mm-hmm. Blue?
I'll agree. I mean, it's a very solid number, especially after Good Kid, M.A.A.D. City. I really want to say, and we'll get into this later, that I think Good Kid, M.A.A.D. City, we got into this whole argument about expectations, but that did help overall the sales, of course. That's the way I see it. But
in a way, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, how many of us can say Good Kid, M.A.A.D. City was a bad project? No one. Unless
we're talking about that. Rich.
Hey, I think it was a great number, but I'm very curious to know what if the album never leaked out. You know, how would that number be reflected if it actually came out on the day it was supposed to come out? Overall, I still think it was good, but obviously, to some, I may be biased because I enjoyed the whole album. Because, well, you know.
Yeah,
that's a good number starting out.
Because, you know, I'm black, and it was fantastic.
No, because of complexions. Because of complexions.
Alright, Joe?
I think 350 is good in this day and age where you have to do surprise stuff like this to get numbers like that anymore. Like, look at Big Sean. Big Sean did like 160, 170 or something like that first week. And his album, I mean, we knew it was coming, kind of like the Cole album. And, yeah. You know, he dropped that number, which is, you know, pretty good. And then Drake did 500 out of nowhere. And then this Kendrick, I mean, you know, it's like right there in the middle. It's like 350, 360-ish. So I think in this climate where nobody wants to buy records and we want to stream them more, I think that's excellent.
Gotcha. Be Will.
Yeah, I think it's not only is it decent or good, I think it's probably astronomical considering exactly who it's talking to.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Big Sean is universal. He appeals to the pop. He can also appeal to the hip hop head if the song is right. But Kendrick Lamar didn't pander to anybody. He is talking to black people about black people. And he got those kind of numbers. And I think that's going to be a really big deal when we see where that album finishes at. Whatever that number is in 2 years when we go back and check the number. I mean, platinum, maybe even double platinum, and hoping for the best for him, but I think it's outstanding.
You pretty much took the words out of my mouth on that, so I don't have, you know, too much to add. I'm very glad that it made 350. And well, I'll put this in perspective. I think Drake's 500,000 kind of got people in some jaded mindset where that's the norm for hip hop. The norm for hip hop is nowhere fucking near that shit. Matter of fact, Big Sean's album is closer to
what actually
would happen as far as
because Cole did like what 320 first week, and like we thought that was amazing for having 3 weeks of promo.
Yeah, like that was mind blowing the way it was grassroots driven. Mm-hmm. Then Drake was propelled by the Cash Money politics and his singles. That the main single wasn't even on the project, 0 to 100, which was like the hottest thing he's put out in a while. And then the sudden just dropping of it. Like, and also people were waiting for a free mixtape. Mm-hmm. That's right.
A free mixtape.
Okay, we're gonna drink to that. Yeah, I do forget that people were waiting for So Far Gone 2 to come out. And I guess we're gonna it didn't get a track or an album or mixtape on.
I didn't even mean to fucking do it that
time. Yeah, we all gonna die tonight.
So, fire the blazer.
They were waiting for that. They didn't get it. And everybody's like, yo, iTunes. Everybody buys it on iTunes. And bam, there you go. I don't think Drake can actually replicate that. I may be alone in this.
No, I see.
But I don't think he can replicate it.
I concur.
But do y'all think that this is going to be maintained for a good bit? Do you think he's going to stay at number one for a while?
I just want to go with what B-Web said. Hoping for platinum, double plat at that. Solid. Because honestly, if you... The reason Drake has such a mass appeal is because he has mass appeal. He just drops things that are not too... Exactly. Goes right to where everyone could just, oh, yeah, I got the new Drake, I'm cool. No, he specifically made this album for a specific group of individuals to perceive it and receive it. Now, that's not going to get you far as album sales, but it'll get a fucking point across, and that I respect it way more than a double platinum plaque.
So,
but if it does become double platinum, that's going to be a slap in the face.
Yes, it will. That will be the shit.
But you also have to think about how does the market or the artists, the common artists, react to what the Kendrick sales end up being later on. Now they realize they don't have to market it, so they don't have to tailor make it to, or they don't have to dumb it down, as you could say, to the masses. Dumb it down.
We can only hope that artists realize that, though.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is a huge eye-opener. I mean, but then again, you have to...
Consider the artist.
Yes.
Consider the artist. Consider the label situation, because he has creative control.
Yeah. So, but the other question is, you have to, and it's still too early to see what the reaction is to the album by the masses. I mean,
yeah,
they picked it up. Are they digging it? Yeah. I mean, we got the sales, but what are they thinking about it?
Well, I can tell you, black people love it so much that they trying to kill Joe in the comments on YouTube. So I can tell you that much. We got that much feedback. But it's inspiring to see that number for this type of project.
Positive.
Even though, yes, GKMC probably padded a lot of it. Because if we take GKMC out of the equation...
I don't want to say that.
But it's true. And you know it is. If we take that out of the equation, that album didn't happen, and Kendrick approaches with this type of project, we'd be thankful for it to hit what Big Sean's album did on the mainstream scale.
So, I mean, we get back into the expectation. I kind of mentioned it earlier, but the expectation is, if we eliminate it, what would the album actually do?
That it'll lead into
a whole different argument. Hey,
that's all my life, I'm all
money. All right, so I didn't even know Joe got kicked out. Welcome back, Joe. But the next one, and he's gone again. The next one is the South by Southwest impressions, real quick. Now, out of all the people that are here, I'm the only one that actually went for an extended period of time, because you know this guy went for one night and didn't tell nobody. But matter of fact, since you did go, we get your impressions too. What did you get to see while you were at South by Southwest?
Do you really want me to say this on air?
Yes.
Bitches.
So you got to see your performances.
My eyes were popping out of my head because they were everywhere.
Okay. Did you get to hear any music?
Yes, I did. Because I saw these ridiculously long lines for these performances. And I was like, you know what? Let's go wait in this one. But then, I'm a very impatient motherfucker. And I decided not to. Now, believe it or not, I heard more of the rock and the country shit that was going on.
Because you can hear it outside the venue.
Yeah. So... Yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm a well-rounded individual. I can enjoy music. You feel the beat, you kind of get behind lyrics in cases, you know, if it's going on. But, like, I had a very good time because you're there for the music. I got a couple mixtapes. Y'all wasn't shitting about people mixtapes.
Yo, everyone.
I shit you not.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Yes,
dream.
Dog. He came out of nowhere. Hey, man, I'm from Houston. Oh, yeah, what part of Houston are you from, too? Yeah, I hit my mixtape. I'm like, dog, I just want to know where you're from.
Word. All right. So, since you didn't get to see that much music, I'll tell you what I got to do next, right? So, instead of planning things out like I did the past 2 years, going to these bigger shows, I tried to get to the small venue, right? Y'all don't know Snow the Product, right? No? Okay. Well, she's a Mexican hip-hop artist, and she's, like, dope as shit. She did, like, a feature with Tech N9ne and smashed it. It was great. Woman found out that she was at a venue, and we were like, yo, bam, we going up in there. One thing, Joe, by the way, a lot of people are charging covers now for these little small venue things, unlike the last 2 years.
Oh, I'm kind of glad I didn't go then.
That was another thing that kept me out of
all the covers. Yeah. I'll tell you this, last 2 years, not that wasn't the thing. We walked in.
They checked our IDs and we walked in. That's it.
Yeah, a ton of places were charging. Even this one was charging $10. So we get in and she's the first performance. So, of course, after that, I'm like, I don't know if I want to be here. But then they say that Ghostface is the headliner. Ghostface Killah and Bad Bad Not Good.
Wait a minute. Is this the show that Wiz showed up at?
Yes, it is. I'm getting there. So, we're in there and we're trying to decide if we're going to stay, right? So, who went right after Snow? Chevy Woods, right? Who's Taylor Gang? Goes after Snow. And Taylor Gang brings up the entirety of Taylor Gang on stage, right. Including Wiz Khalifa. And I'm one of the people that probably, like, shouldn't have been doing this, but, like, Shaman Woods is performing on recording. But, like, I keep drifting back to Wiz every time because, of course, his performance is terrible. Shaman Woods is absolute trash.
Aww.
It is horrible. But the most impressive thing was how absolutely fucked up Wiz was on stage. He was so high that it was concerning. Bad. Like, it was terrible. Like, dude, there was one point where Chevy did a song and he got a water bottle, took the lid off, drank a little bit of it, sat it down. Wiz grabbed another bottle, took the cap off, and handed it to him. Like, Frank, I'm like, what? I'm so pissed that I didn't get that on camera because I'm just watching him. He's just bugging out, and he barely knows where he is the whole time.
Yo, did Wiz look like a mom? Did he look like a mom like he's always been looking like here recently?
No. He just had jeans and, like, no shirt on at this point. And, like, they had, like, so another thing. They had jeans and they had these boxers on, and I'm, like, sagging like crazy. You can see him. So how about they was handing out some boxers at the show? Like, that was part of their marketing thing. They were giving out CDs, blunt wraps, and boxers.
Interesting.
Hey, man, do what you gotta do.
Hey, Dame Dash Rocker Pads.
Right?
Oh, my God. When your peers drop in, we catch it.
Yo, Dame Dash was a genius, man. He predicted it.
All right, so the second story and the last story from there. I wandered for the rest of the days. And then I didn't even go back Sunday. Saturday, we wandered. There was a big Crit show. Line was too long.
There was
Mick Jenkins and Earl Sweatshirt. Line was too long. Tink, which is the song that we're going to talk about next, she got added onto a set, like, last minute. And that was Fader Fort. The line was way too long. So then we found out that Twista and Do or Die were headlining.
Woo!
And we found that place, and we got in. So we get in there, we're waiting in line. There's a bunch of no-name people doing their thing. Some of them straight, some of them not. Every show has their openers before they get to it.
Is that kind of how, like, we waited for TDE that first year?
Yeah.
And there was, like, nine people?
So many people. But thankfully, they had decent performers, though. So we get through the openers, and you know that the openers are a thing, so your mind is ready for that, and you go through it. And then all these people comes to the crowd, Twista being one of them. He actually, like, walked right behind me, and I'm like, yo, what up? And they go to the back, and then they say, coming to the stage, Twista and Friends. And then we get, like, 10 more openers that nobody fucking know. And they are absolutely horrible the entire time. And then we get Shauna, who I didn't realize was going to be performing. She did her thing and it was dope. They cut her set short. She was not happy about that. And then Crucial Conflict came up, did their songs. Of course, they did Hey, dope, set it off. Did two more openers that we didn't know after that. And then Twista did two songs and the show was shut down.
Yo, I'm surprised that GLC didn't show up to say a prayer.
Oh my god! Foul! You know what? You wouldn't have had time. Like, they, the club had a set time, And like Twista and them knew what it was, and they got up there and did two songs and was mad that they actually abided by the time. It was like, yo, we told y'all what we was gonna do, and y'all went over.
It's terrible.
Yeah, they shut the whole thing down, just died his mic down. It was hilarious. It sucked for us at the time because we've been waiting for so long, legs hurting and shit. But it got shut down. So that right there embodies my South by Southwest experience this year.
It sounds like a mix of the first 2 years.
To a degree, because it had great moments and then it had terrible moments.
Because that first year that we went was awful until the TDE show, and then last year was really good.
Yeah, the TDE
we all cool. did our own thing.
All of it. See, if you go for the same reasons I go, you'll never be disappointed with all the bitches.
That's up, alright, so let's jump into the next topic. The artist that I mentioned got thrown onto the Fader Force set is kind of one of the surprise slots. Tink. If you don't know her, then I'm not mad at that. Not many people do. As a matter of fact, maybe only two people in this podcast even know who that is right now. Right? Joe, did you know who Tink was beforehand?
I hadn't listened to any of her music, but like I knew who she was. Like, but I was trying to put my thumb on it. I can't, like, she's a new artist, right?
Yes. No. On mainstream she is.
Because I had never heard of her before this year.
Yeah, this is when she blew up. She's been doing mixtapes for a while. She has a mixtape series. Yeah.
Okay.
But this is... Timbaland has taken her under his wing.
Yeah, she was on features back when Missy was still high.
What the hell are you talking about?
Tink?
Yeah, she was not on no Missy features.
She was. But we'll get into that. Y'all here, keep going. Just keep going.
Somebody do the Googles.
I was going to say, I'm here with the Googs.
Gotcha. So, Tink... Timbaland took her under his wing. He's working on an album with her. He's been playing like little clips of it on Instagram and stuff, and they're really dope. And she has the song with Charlamagne doing like voiceovers around the clock, which is really dope. Mm-hmm. But she also dropped a song called Ratchet Commandments, which I saw posters for the Commandments, like it was cut out of the Bible while I was at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. It was actually kind of cool how they marketed it. But we listened to this song, and we're going to give impressions on this song. We'll start with AJ. It's fresh on. We'll start with us three because it's fresh on.
Well, I was blown away with the refreshing perspective that she presented, because usually you'll hear a lot of people go on and on about. Oh, they'll go on and on. They'll go on and on about like bullshit, you know. But when. Like, I'm on this whole positive black music kick, you know what I mean? And then when you hear something like that, that gives like, it's a girl saying, hey, stop doing this ratchet ass shit and actually do something that'll allow you to be a presentable individual in today's society.
Right.
But in black terms, you know, they don't use so many syllables like I just did. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just a couple. Just too many, you know. But, that's how I feel. I really, really like it. When you hear a single like that, And it makes you think like real music is supposed to do, a creative project or a piece of a project is supposed to make you actually like, that was a good song, but why? That's the kind of shit that I like.
Gotcha. Blue.
I'm gonna agree with him. I mean, it's crazy because we kind of discussed about, past influences.
Yeah.
And, There's Lil Kim's one, and she's never listened to Lil Kim album, right?
Yeah, she said she's never listened to Lil Kim or Foxy Brown or anything.
It's crazy to think of, she doesn't have that perspective, but she's bringing a very real perspective for her age. We said she was 19. So now, we kind of discussed this off camera. Oh, we got into the discussion about, of course, Nicki Minaj kind of started that way with her mixtape series. But we saw how that drastically changed when she got signed.
And also, AJ, I think you're focusing on the wrong thing when he says that. He wasn't saying that she was focused on, like, a positive message, but it wasn't over-sexualized.
That is definitely what I was focused on.
No, she wasn't. Nicki Minaj early on wasn't as over-sexualized as she is now.
Which, there was a video where she said she would do that, you know, she would keep it real.
Money talks?
Money talks. Lil Wayne paid her well.
I just don't...
No. Oh, Birdman. My bad, Birdman.
Just a small tidbit on my perspective is that I love the fact that she's counter-programming what has become socially normal in her age group.
Yeah.
For her to be 19 talking about stuff like that, like, stop with the Instagram bullshit and, you know, like, it's not like the whole side chick and side dude BS and nonsense and everything. Like, I was very glad to hear that from somebody her age. Because there's one thing for, like, a Nas or somebody to be saying something like that. But it's another thing for someone to be doing a popular sound in her age group that'll attract that age of listeners to be able to speak to them in that way as well. Especially with somebody like Timbaland behind you. So you know you're about to have an audience.
You got that cosign.
Exactly. What'd you think, Joe?
You literally said everything that I wanted to say. Like, it's so refreshing to hear somebody in that age group. I mean, to come out with a positive influence. And like AJ said, like, it's nice to hear, like, the positive, like black, you know, messages that are going on in hip hop right now. Like with J. Cole's album and Kendrick's album and then with her, like, it's fun to hear that again. And not only that, I'm gonna take it a step further. I think that this is finally a contender for somebody to do numbers against Nicki Minaj.
This is true.
Because, I mean, you can say Iggy all you want, but Iggy was built.
Who would say that? Trash Bo. Who would say that?
Iggy was manufactured. And I mean, you have good female artists like Snow her name always slips Jean my Gray. Mind. Jean Grey, her too, like, and who's the other one that's Rhapsody. That kind of Rhapsody, she's good too.
What the hell are you thinking about?
she's starting to become more sexualized.
Who's big right now? Is somebody on, like, underground or mainstream?
It's underground.
Are you talking about Nitty Scott?
Yes. Her. So, I mean, you know, they're all kind of good, but at the same time, like, I think Tink's the one that can do battle with Nicki.
I think Timbaland saw that, and that's why
That's why when she rides with Timbaland, because she won't be picked up by one of these other motherfuckers, that'll just be like, hey, you know sex still, so you gotta go out there and start talking all that shit. Yeah, like, she got Timbaland behind her. Rock with it.
Yeah. Timbaland probably in her ear, like, destroy these women. Rich.
Yeah, so much was already said about this. I'll just say this right now. I did not know she was only 19 years old. That makes the message even more powerful, as you guys have already illustrated. I thought the song was great because the message was already good, but yeah. The fact that she is in the same age bracket and she's talking about the stuff. I mean, I have cousins that are around the same age, so I know they do this stuff, so it's an artist they can probably learn something from.
Word. You know, let me backtrack. He probably ain't in her ear just like killing chicks. Kill dudes too, because when her first song Round the Clock that I heard, she was coming to everybody. Like, and the way that she can rhyme, she's gonna be on the contender.
You know, she'll be selling more than Drake next week.
Man, that'll actually be nice. That'd be kind of dope. And the 19 thing, I heard Around the Clock, and I thought she was like 26, 27. I didn't find out she was 19 until South by Southwest. I'm like, who you been hanging with? Like,
I mean, I like the song. I'm not gonna say it was great because it doesn't relate. I can't relate to it at all. I mean, that's, you know, none of us can personally relate to it, but that's the kind of music that you like the most, is what you relate to the most. But I mean, I will agree in saying that it's something that is needed. There's some balance out there. I don't see her competing with anybody, because if whether or not a female artist was going to be huge was based in any way on skills, then Nicki Minaj, nothing that she did on the major level would get any attention.
That's,
I mean,
a very good point.
You have to be, female artists aren't fully embraced until they are sexualized. So what she will do is, it will be a valiant effort. And let's also keep in mind, of all the people produced by Tim, how many of Timbaland's artists actually blew? Not had singles and videos. What's Bubba Sparks doing right now?
You want to go down the list of people? All right. Now, are we talking about only people that Timbaland brought into the game, or people that he pushed forward?
Brought into the game.
I'm talking about people he brought forward.
And I'll point out, that technically he brought Justin Timberlake into his lane.
Get the fuck out of here.
Are we gonna hear that?
No.
So you're telling me Justin Timberlake would have done what he did without Timberlake behind him?
Oh, yeah. He
pushed him forward. Justin Timberlake was on some...
He was on NSYNC.
Yeah, a whole different other genre of music, but he was still doing music. He had a successful career.
Well, you got to look at it too, Pharrell.
Thank you.
Pharrell!
Okay, so there's also Nelly Furtado, regardless of if you fuck with her or not. And the album that she did, Loose, was hot as fuck, and that's when she came back. Because her first album, which had more of her native sound, didn't do that well. What sound pushed her forward? Who was Timbaland produced the motherfucker?
Wait. Time out. I am not talking about for R&B. To be honest with you, I think Tim should do exclusively R&B, which is why I think he did for a minute. Maybe he just couldn't fuck with the rappers that were out that time. Maybe because of his pedigree, he was like, nobody's worth my time for what I do. And that's why he pretty much just worked with, Jay and Beyonce heavy. From what I understand, but R&B great. Rappers, I'm talking about rappers, because there was another chick that he had brought forward. It was in when him and Missy was still working together. She was on a few features. I forgot her name, but she didn't do anything, which was disappointing, because every time I check for a rapper that Tim's produced, but I'm like, oh, Timberland Beats is going to be ridiculous. Oh, okay.
Alright, well then I'll point out another thing that you don't know about this chick is that she does sing as well. Not just where it's like she'll throw some singing in on the hooks on her song, she does full song sing.
So it's we get to see what the reception is to the rap angle, and then from there I guess they're gonna adjust. I mean, because she sings, that's gonna be the route. If rap doesn't work out, I mean, you might go the R&B route.
I don't think they was going to go that route. I don't think that they're in it for just that at this point. Okay. And that my only, I'm arguing that because I'm countering what B. Will was saying, that, you know, the skill for a female artist isn't what propels her. That's largely true. But it's not just that, because she has a production around her. Because, you know, you can have a song where you're spitting shit and it don't matter, but if they hear that beat, you might not get those lists.
Can I take like a big whole nother... Do we not realize that Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly has changed what rap should sound like?
Pause. Can we go ahead? Can I go ahead and counter that with, we don't know what the hell has changed after 1 week?
Okay, well, this is, you're right. Fuck it. This is how I feel. I feel as though the introduction of these types of sounds will allow for shit that's not going to sound conventional to be able to step into the same way. What's this going all in my life?
Well, why does that relate to Tink, though?
Yeah, because, I mean, we're talking about the...
Because her not being sexualized and her actually having...
You're just saying doing something different.
Yes, it will allow... She can dive her ass right in there.
No, not necessarily, because Kendrick did it and it was successful. No one's done what she's done right now and been successful with it.
Well, no one's done what Kendrick Lamar has done, made an album that's not a conventional rap album.
But once again, we get back to the whole expectation thing. I mean,
GTFC came first.
Yeah, that came first and that set the expectation, so... I mean, okay.
Now, granted, I want her to get to that level. I want her to be more prominent of a name than what we currently have, because I can definitely do without Iggy and Nicki completely.
All the way.
But, and then we have to see how the masses react. You said she was Mexican?
Snow. Snow is going a very specialized party route, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's got her lane. And then, I mean, she did a collaboration with Tech N9ne, so... I consider that successful.
I like Tech N9ne.
Regardless of
Kansas
whatever.
City, 816.
Yeah, I think that's dope that she's still doing live performances. And, you know, she's still eating. And she's dope. Like,
hey, playing. But you know what? Iggy Azalea got freestyle. She's a freestyle fucking
anyway.
Freestyle.
Any last words on Tink and Ratchet Commandments? No, we're good. All right. So let's move on to the big topic. An article off of
thesis. A master's degree.
A thesis. Alright, it's a thesis written by Carl Lewis, I think his name is, on Slate.com. And
God, I hope it's the same guy who sung the national anthem.
the tagline that drew everybody in was, how should white listeners approach the overwhelming blackness of Kendrick Lamar's brilliant new album? I'm going to go ahead and tell you before we get into it. I don't think he addressed that at any point directly during the entire article. just go ahead and get that out of the way. Like, I was sitting there through about, how many paragraphs you said, B-Will? About 35 paragraphs?
35 paragraphs.
And if you take pieces out of all of them, you might make one paragraph related to that statement. But that's okay. We'll talk about the rest of it. So, the article itself ends up being an actual review of the whole album, right? And it is a very, very detailed and, what's the word I'm looking for? Convoluted? Would that be the word?
That would work.
There's a lot of useless stuff put in the damn article. That's what I'm going to say.
It's a filler.
Yeah, it's a lot of filler.
A lot of smoke and mirrors.
A lot of smoke and mirrors and a lot of smart talk. Hey, you got a drink again. We haven't drank in a while. Here goes.
Yeah, like, that's the thing that threw me off from wanting to read anymore, is, like, I read the first two or three paragraphs, I'm just like, you're not speaking to me. You're not speaking the language that I speak. Which I like to think of myself as, like, moderately intelligent, but, like, if you're gonna start using all these big words when I'm trying, you know, I just want to know what you think about the damn album. Like, that's it, dude.
So, with what you just said, couldn't you say that's what Kendrick did? Because he pulled people in with Mad City, Good Kid, Mad City, and he spoke to people the way that they're not the masses, the way that they're not used to hearing it.
What do you mean?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I mean,
Good Kid, Mad City was like baseline.
No, that's fine, but To Pimp a Butterfly is not what the masses are used to.
So yeah. You're saying that this man wrote an article to write an article in a way we're not used to?
Title-wise. So, I mean...
No, we passed the title. Yeah. We called the bullshit on the title. We got that. We know this headline was going to draw people in.
Yeah. Well, he drew people in.
Which, honestly, in the most fucked up part, initially I read the title and I was like, yo, I'm about to bash homie, like, we going in. But then I thought about it and I was like, if he actually talks about this in a decent way, then that could be a decent article. That actually would be kind of cool, because I've had people say that, like, I put it on Twitter, was on a Facebook account talking about the album, because I posted up our link on there, right? And this white guy gets on there and he says, I feel like Kendrick was talking at me and it turned me off to the whole project. He felt like he was being attacked as a white person. Number one, when did that happen? The only time that you can even remotely get that is on Black and the Berry, and even then, it was more of an introspective than, you know, attacking someone. So that threw me off, but I was interested to see if someone could actually, convince a person like that, you know, that has that point of view, if they would actually listen to what was being said in the album. But we'll start with B. Will on his thoughts on that article.
I mean, I'm not gonna act like I read this whole thing, because I mean, we ain't got time, bro. Just get to the point. But the complication, if I'm gonna play off what the title of the article drew me in and had us thinking, which was he's gonna actually talk about, for a black ass album, how should white listeners feel about it? Now, I really don't understand. On one hand, it's still amazing to me, and in a positive way, when I got to college, and I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, it's a mostly black city, of course, at least inside the city limits it is, so all black high school, so you see, you grow up listening to music, you get acquainted with music, and that's, you hear black people, you see black people, so it's a black thing in my head, and I think in most of our heads, to a certain extent. And then you come to college with different races and you see white people loving, like I see a white people articulating like all these theories on hip hop music more than I do. Like, dude, what are you listening to? I didn't even think that hard about it, but it's been jarring to hear that reaction to hip hop from white people. For the most part, white people, and I mean like the masses, what they buy into is pop music, popular music. There are definitely people of all races who can appreciate hip hop in the way that we like to discuss it, the intricacies, the messages. But for the most part, it's commercial. and that's all well and good. However, most of the music they do like, and like Joe's a great example of this, he can appreciate the same things, production quality and how well you ride the beat, and did he cover this topic? Is he being hypocritical because he said something different earlier? Kanye's change over time and what he's about. And that's great. When you pick up this album, it's so only for black people. I'm seriously thinking, like, if I was white, would I buy this? I don't know. Like, I have no idea, because I'm thinking in the same way that, like, Joe loves Ray's Schremer. There we go. I've only seen his name spelled. That's why I had no idea how to pronounce it. It's like, I'm thinking, okay, if I don't go to clubs, happily married man, I'm not looking for hoes, I don't go out, so the turn up scene is not for me. All right. So I don't like turn up music, and I'm okay with that. You know, that's cool. If I'm a white person who is oblivious to the qualms and pitfalls of black culture, and I just want pop music, or if I'm a white person who understands that I can't involve myself in race to a certain extent because it is a touchy subject, then what do I get from that album? And I'm thinking, I can kind of, it's kind of like sitting back and, hey, you guys let them fight, let them work this out. Like, that's the idea I got in my head. Like, when two friends start fighting, you want to break them up, but you can't break them up, and somebody's like, no, just let them do what they need to do.
Let them fight.
That's the picture in my head when I thought about this title. It's like, you know what? They just have to say I liked it. You don't even say I don't like it, because we saw what happens when somebody says that. Let black people work it out. Agree, disagree. You just don't say shit and give it a thumbs up, or don't say anything. That's it. Like, that's all they can do. But I don't feel like it's for a white list. And that's okay. That is okay. Hip hop was originated by black people, for black people, for it evolved into many different purposes that it's got. But this one is, again, instead of pandering to everybody to sell records, I'm going to make something that is to us, for us, because we need this. And that's okay. But if I was white, would I feel like that was for me? I probably would not.
I think the thing with white people is that they, you know, they can't relate to it because we're culture vultures, as Dame Dash would say. We take people's culture and we turn it. I mean, just look at like Macklemore and Iggy. Like, those are perfect examples of taking hip hop culture and making it white. It's one of those things where white people are not going to get this album. And partly it's because of the messages, because they don't understand the Ferguson stuff. They don't understand the race cult, you know, there's a racial divide in the United States right now, and they don't see it. And they, you know, they're totally oblivious to it. And so they're not going to get that. They're not going to get these songs, you know, with like, you know, those things in them. And also because they can't steal it. This is a sound that they're not going to be able to know how to replicate.
He took the words out of my mouth.
That's so real. But did you know that in a national poll, 62% of Caucasian Americans are in somewhere on those damn states, they did the poll. 62% of them thought that that like racism was dead. They thought that racism wasn't an issue anymore. No bullshit. So 62% of Americans think that that race is just dead. It's not even an issue.
Why are it's not about being... race. It's not about race anymore, bro. We're all brothers, bro.
that tripped me the fuck.
But just like us, like, I mean, if you take it like to another subject, we all drinking water like it ain't nothing. Not realizing that it's like a huge-ass water shortage. Like, when you take the whole world into account. You know what I'm saying? Perspective plays a big part into it. And one thing, like, Joe, you're right. They will not get this album. But one thing I hope they do when they listen to it or struggle to listen to it is that they just be like, huh, I do have some white privilege. Goddamn.
That is so real. That is so real that people still, it's 2015 and white people still don't believe that they have a white privilege. And I've talked about it before. I guarantee you that I've got to the point in my life because of my skin color at some point.
Word.
It's so real.
Yeah. Rich.
Yes, well, let me sound a little bit more sophisticated here.
Rich's gonna get a Socrates on.
Yes, I have to match the article that my fellow reverend has written. So let me just say this right now. Listen, I think first and foremost, the title he used, that was specifically to draw people in for the sake of being controversial.
Clickbait.
And I thought once you got to the whole thing of him talking about what he was talking about, he couldn't find a direction. So he said, well, let me just talk about every song and just talk about what it means to try and get people to understand. But no matter what he writes, he's not going to be able to get anybody to understand a lot of the stuff that was expressed in the album. I think they're taking the approach of just saying, you know, the white people, they need to pretty much trying to get them to understand it. You really can't do that. You really cannot express that. At least not the way that he went about expressing it. And on top of that, you know, as if that wasn't enough. I mean, I don't necessarily, I understand that a lot of people don't understand a lot of the messages. But those that are fans of Kendrick, no matter what race they are, and they really are fans of Kendrick, they probably will still go out and buy this album.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to look at it as, oh, this is a race issue. No, they're going to look at, this is an artist that I appreciate and respect, so I'm going to support him no matter what he says. They may think the beats are dope. I don't know what he's talking about when he says this line, but hey, I like him, so I'm going to go out and support him.
And you make a very good point about that, Rich, is because this is an artist who's using his platform to do something as opposed to somebody who's not doing it. So I think that some people might get that and they will support it.
Fucking Joe, that's why I fucks with you.
That's it.
All right, AJ. Oh, I mean, look, I will say nothing. Revert to Joe. That's gonna be his stance on every episode. We can be like, why are you even here?
Just fucking Joe.
Nah, I don't even know. You know, me and Joe say the shit that comes like right out my
like this album, like I may not be able to relate to it because I don't, I've never went through this stuff. But like, if I can understand it, I can understand what Kendrick's talking about. Like on You, I teared up the first time I heard You.
Man.
Like the very end where he's rapping, where it sounds like he's drunk and he's crying. I got the same emotion that when I listened to Book of Soul. The very first time.
Oh, why you had to mention that song, man?
Like it just happened. Like I may not be able to relate, but I can understand it.
No, fucking disrespectful that is. I relate to that song incredibly because I told you I didn't really listen to it the first time because it threw me off because it changed the sound so much. But the more I've listened to it, that is the song I relate to the most. And
yeah, it's painful. Like, yeah, it's real.
Yeah, it's fucking real. Sure. Blue.
So when it comes, we talked about white people relating. Joe's white, of course. I'm Mexican, so even then, for me, it was a little bit hard to relate. But just a little background to my growing up. In elementary school, I went to a primarily Hispanic school. Middle school, I went to a primarily black middle school. In high school, I went to a primarily white high school. So I can see the perspective. I did understand the album, and that's kind of why I kept playing it, to try to draw it in as much as I can. Of course, there's still things that I still can't relate to. Being also a minority, I do understand a lot of the struggle that is out there. So that's kind of why I'm curious to see how this reacts or how the masses react to this album week two, week three, week four. If the album sales continue to skyrocket, when it comes down to it, Kendrick has done something that many artists can say they've never done. I mean, when it comes to getting a purist message out there without having to, quote unquote, sell your soul to the masses. So, I'm really curious to see what week two, week three, week four sales look like. Because as we mentioned, white people, pardon me, the masses or most white people can't relate.
I was going to interrupt him and be like, can I tell you something?
I know.
You sound like a politician this whole time. He's like,
he's bittering around this shit. Like,
So anyway, I'm curious to see what the masses and how they relate. Do they take it in? Do they reject it? Because I mean, you're obviously going to see that within the sales and the streams themselves.
It don't matter. We got that money now.
We got that money, but
we got that tree pity.
But will the message get across? That's what I'm curious to see with the masses, because. Hip hop, I mean, yes, it was made by black people for black people, but who eats it up? The white people eat it up. So are they going to eat this album up?
Mm. Whoa! Stop! Why did you do that? Why did you do that?
The cannon!
No. Fuck no. I'm gonna have to interject and say fuck no. Simply because.
So what happens if they do? Then that's...
Nah,
that's,
let's go back.
Now, when you say... All right, pause. When you say eat it up...
Eat it up.
Please explain how I go at you.
So once again, will it... Like, once again, how will they react to it? Will they take it in positively, or will they...
No, but you said they eat it up. Let's go to white people eat it up. I'm listening to you.
Were you talking about eating it up as in receiving it and embracing it, or taking it and appropriating it
amongst the masses? Amongst the masses, that's going to be the big thing, is how do they react to the album? Because, I mean, we saw how they reacted to Drake.
Can we just let them take it? Let's just move on and let them make it.
We'll let you live, honey.
Just for the night. God damn. Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh man. I know. I didn't know what to do with that. I was like, dude, don't do it.
This one particular thing. Well, I'll say this.
Fuck.
I feel like if the responses that we get are whoever this is, a Carl making an article about how white people should receive it, then the discussion is happening. Because what we need is a discussion to happen. Because Big Sean, Drake, J. Cole is now. These aren't artists that are going to start any kind of discussion that's going to advance any kind of societal relations, right? But
do you remember that panel that BET Once Upon a Time had with Nelly and a couple of the artists where they tried to explain the derogatory terms and the degradation of hip-hop?
I didn't watch it.
Okay. That was after the credit card incident, wasn't it?
It was. You damn fucking cool, dog. Joe, you the shit, dog. All right, so this is the type of... That's one of the things... Okay, so it was on BET. I personally don't respect anything coming out of BET's mouth. However...
Hey, what Kendrick say? Watch BET, because black support is important.
Get the fuck out of here.
You ain't taking back your words, right?
Nah, I ain't taking shit back, I say. Now, in saying that... What's up?
Oh no, I got something to say after you.
I just feel as though I sincerely and wholeheartedly agree. After this shit comes out, after this comes out, there needs to be some kind of intellectual discussion as, hey, maybe we are fucking up for a minute right quick. Maybe things are fucking up a little bit. Maybe we shouldn't be having this ratchetry running around here. You know what I mean? Okay, go ahead, Rich. I apologize.
Oh, no, uh-uh. No, I apologize. I was going to say, though, I know, Charles, you made a comment that you mentioned that some of these artists like J. Cole and Big Sean, they're not going to move us to have these.
It's J. Cole out of that, because the thing about J. Cole, he throws the little pieces in there, even though he says not kidding afterwards. Yeah. But he does the interviews, and when you listen to his interviews, he is trying to advance things. Like,
okay.
Talks about like schools and the communities and what, you know, what stuff to buy, like where to start. He's actually talking about that kind of stuff, so I can appreciate that. But what I was kind of getting at was mainstream. The typical mainstream hip hop is not starting any kind of discussion that will make hip hop a more respectable craft.
And we and we've talked about that before with Young Thug and his Ferguson comments.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy about that? Now, this is, I can't go too deep into it, but the issue with hip hop being, you know, not a respected craft, that's almost an exclusively American issue, because when like, you know, artists like, say, Slaughterhouse and early Kendrick, people that are more lyricists, if they go to Japan or to the UK, they are the popular artists there. They're the ones that get, you know, the sellout shows and all that kind of stuff. And the hip hop that they embrace there, mostly, I know that's changed a little bit in the UK, but most of the hip hop that is embraced there, they embrace it because of the roots of the culture. Like Japan and Korea are big into like the breaking scene, you know, old school hip hop and stuff like that. It's just American culture has such a stigma around hip hop, I feel like. But
hey, Rich.
Rich, like, what were you about to say?
Oh, no, no. I was just going to say that because the video that J. Cole dropped today, and that is one of his, that song is one of, that's one of his favorite songs. Well, that's one of my favorite songs on his last album, next to Wet Dreams. But that video he dropped today, that is, that will make you think about race.
But you got to see the video.
What's the name of the actual song?
G-O-M-D.
Yeah, Get Off My Dick.
But I saw clips. I haven't watched the whole video. We'll probably watch it after this.
Yeah.
And talk about it on the next episode. Which, by the way, y'all getting two episodes this week, so...
Yeah, we'll see y'all tomorrow. I'll be here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it tomorrow.
But I did want to say something.
Good.
Going back to what you said about how J. Cole said the Just Playing line, I shit you not, that struck a chord with me because I worked on the Geek Squad, and I had a conversation with this guy just out of fucking nowhere. He came and said, he was talking to me, he was like, you know, Good Kid, Mad City, let's just put it in this perspective. What did you give this J. Cole album on a scale of 1 to 5? We talked about that, right? But Good Kid, Mad City, it was a year after the project had come out. He said, I listened to that shit today and I'm still jamming. He compared that to J. Cole's album. But he said, J. Cole had that line about how he was talking on Iggy. And then he said, Just Playing after that. He was like, that was the realest fucking line on the whole album. And then he said, Just Playing, and fucked it all off.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt. Yeah. I seriously went from smile to fucking depression soon as he said Just Playing. Because I was just like, oh, it's, he's going at them.
You had to. He nerfed the whole goddamn, so, like, when you make real statements, you can't sugarcoat it.
But the dope thing that J. Cole
would probably die from diabetes if these other niggas rock out.
But he's in his interviews afterwards, when they talk to him about it, he's expanded upon it. Yes. He didn't back away from it. It's not going to reach the man.
So he mentioned it, though. I mean, regardless if he said it, was he being sarcastic? Or
he did start a conversation.
That's not going to reach
the man. He brought up the subject.
No. The fact that he started the conversation.
They heard it.
Whether you're mad about him saying Just Playing or not, you're
they heard
about
it. I mean, regardless.
I guess that's
because Iggy Azalea got the freestyle skills. We know that, right? Y'all know that, right?
Hey, you freestyle.
We're going to beat you off of here, man. We got to get you out of here.
What was that? I can't even remember. It was that goddamn shitty about how she said that. And it was something that was written down.
But you know what's crazy?
Get it out.
You don't know that the worst freestyle has come out since then.
Oh, that's atrocious.
And guess what she said in those?
What?
We don't know. It's indiscernible. We don't know what she said. It was, she did a performance on stage and was freestyling. And literally, you cannot. There's no.
Are you talking about that Vine?
Yeah. I've seen the longer version of it. She was like, who don't pay? Who nigga? Bah, bah, bah. Dead ass. That's exactly how it's.
Yo, talking. Y'all better never ever give me shit for listening to Young Thug ever again, then.
Hey,
at least he ain't saying shit. There's a melody for it.
Hey, you gotta know the good from the bad, goddamn.
Or the terrible.
Yeah, like Young Thug, don't give you. That's not even done to give me
that. You're done to lie, Alright, you're right. At least his melody is catchy.
Yeah, you gotta know the good from the bad.
I think Iggy might be dead now, though. I think they really getting her up out of here in 2015.
He tripping. Iggy Azalea's gonna be. They gonna put her ass on Coke bottles.
Her fame is just starting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She is about to be the poster child. White people are going to eat her appeal up.
Yep.
No bullshit.
Do y'all really think that it's going to
be talentless and everything?
Her next album?
Shit.
Her next album is going to be a classic.
Yes. According to the numbers, she's going to sell so much more because everyone in social media and pop culture is going to know, oh, that's Iggy Azalea. You got to go buy that shit. She was on the vines.
I'll make a wager here on the show live, man.
I'm ready.
Cool.
Put the bottle caps up.
I am willing to bet, and y'all set whatever the rules are, that Iggy Azalea's album, the next one, will sell less than her first one.
How much did the first sell?
Can we just make
it? It don't matter.
No, I don't care.
How much it sold?
Slap bet.
Marshall Erickson.
Don't think about anything. Bad publicity.
It's good
publicity. Exactly. She's got
bad publicity and good is good publicity. That doesn't sell albums, actually.
Look at Riff Raff.
Can't sell no albums.
A big part
of Iggy's acceptance is she is seen as what is thought to be cool in hip hop. She is no longer that.
That and they assumed that she was black because she's like partial Aborigine or something.
Yeah,
not partial Aborigine. She is. And I don't want to disrespect because I actually do like Aborigines and things of that nature. Yeah. But that is why she was like, oh, she's kind of black because look at the facial features.
And the bullshit accent.
Exactly.
And so you're forgetting one thing. Even though if hip-hop doesn't like her, she's top 40. Ooh. Those things sell like hotcakes.
Will she continue to be?
Oh, this slap will tell us if she will.
I don't think she will.
I put my butt on the line.
I'm always watching.
All right, so any last words on Kendrick's To Pimp a Butterfly and the article about whitelist?
Can I just say that I'm so glad that when you read that article title, you all didn't look into the camera like you were glaring at me, waiting for me to do something.
I bet all the people watching the show will, though.
Oh, yes, they will. Comments.
I'm thinking about naming this one how white or how black people should listen to a podcast.
I'm down. And when y'all read the article, just remember somewhere in that article, I'm going to say about the sixth paragraph. White supremacy. He talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was white supremacy in there. He talked about that. Yeah, that was great. But last name is on that? No. All right, we're good. All right, let's get final words. That was our last topic, so let's go ahead and get final words on the show. AJ first.
Why you always do me first? Because you want me to shut up.
I didn't plan that.
Yeah, I didn't bullshit. I'm just gonna say once again, I'm very, very, very glad to have been involved in this. I will be here upon the next recording, and I love speaking with you guys intellectually about things that I feel as though in the community that so corely relates to me matters.
Word up.
Blue.
Thanks for the invite. I'm still going to continue to listen to Kendrick Lamar's next album. Hey, maybe I'll be able to listen to that Game album along with that Lupe album. Be Will.
Be Will's gone.
Yeah, I was expecting a reaction from that Lupe. But anyway, I'll try to listen to those albums, try to catch up on my hip hop. So yeah, once again, thanks for the invite, as always. We'll see you tomorrow, of course.
Right, word up. Richard Bailey.
Oh, yes. Always a pleasure talking with you gentlemen about, you know, having these conversations. And you enlightened me as well because, again, I didn't know that Tank was only 19. So, hey, learn something new every day. But I look forward to the next show. Once again, for those that still haven't checked out the Kendrick album, yeah, they need to check it out. Stop hating and listen to the message. That's what we call it. And also check out that Snoop, Peaches and Cream. Gotta check that out. This song is day.
Yeah.
Jehovah.
JehovahsMF.com. Check that out. That's where I post a whole bunch of cool indie hip hop and stuff. Also, Dada.co. Check out the 1996 album. We're still pushing that. And I didn't say Trash Boat until now, so nobody can get mad at me tonight. So that'd be fun.
The whole show and then clown your ass at the end, but that's okay. We'll get those views though.
Yep, get them views up. Get that ad money.
Well, thank y'all for watching the show. Thanks for showing up after Joe called Kendrick's album Trash Boat. Thank you for coming back. You know, we didn't expect you to make it back in here, especially if you've listened all the way to this point and not stopped after the first minute.
Mm-hmm.
Joe. Yeah, but thanks for tuning in. Share with your auntie, mama, cousin, them. We'll be back tomorrow for the next episode that'll probably only get posted on Friday, but at least you'll have this one to digest until then. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
True.
Support your artists.
Support your artists.
Buy your CDs.
As long as it's not Iggy.